97.9 The Hill. Aaron Keck coming at you from the Booth Park Studios here on East Franklin Street. Victor Lewis here in the studio now to catch us up on what's trending in the world. Hello.
Hello. Remember a long time ago, maybe not that long, it's irrelevant, when we talked about the price of cocoa. Do you remember talking about the price of cocoa with me?
Yes, and there was it was spiking because of like some climate issue slash weather issue.
It was projected to spike.
Projected.
And we talked about how most of the candy had already been made for Easter.
So oh, so it's the really Halloween candy that's going to... Yeah, I remember this.
That was the gist of what we discussed. Well, I've got a follow-up, which is the raw price of cocoa is now fully hitting the candy business. What we talked about has indeed come to pass. The prices per metric ton of cocoa have risen to $6,000. For comparison, that is up from $2,600 per ton this time last year, according to Bloomberg. And the fear is that drought and disease in West Africa is meaning that these prices are only going to get higher slash worse. And this year is truly an anomaly. I really want to highlight some stuff so that it's not just like, wow, looks like it's a little more expensive than normal. That's crazy. Every single year since the 1980s, cocoa futures in New York have traded below $3,500 per metric ton. We are quickly approaching double the highest they have been.
Let me go back a second, because you said it's only going to get worse and this year is an anomaly. Does that mean it's only going to get worse this year, but this year is an anomaly, or this year is a relative anomaly, but it's going to continue to get worse?
Because
you can go either way on this.
We won't know until next year's harvest whether this year is going to be anomalous going forward.
Right.
But what I can tell you is that in these unprecedented times...
These economic times...
Cocoa is more expensive than we would have ever expected it to be in 2024. There are some standard strategies that are used to reduce demand for chocolate long employed by candy companies. You can, you know, just chuck them in a chocolate river and get them stuck in tubes. You can turn them into berries. You can put them in like a garbage chute.
Are you just like... Is this just the plot of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Okay, good, good. I just wanted to have like a little bit of fun, because the framework for this story is disquieting at best, that a very specific harvesting area in West Africa has experienced just absolute drought and disease and crippled a crop. I mean, this is a luxury good. Chocolate is a luxury good. If this happens to things that aren't quite as luxury goods, if this happens to a rice harvest somewhere, we experience much more significant problems than Halloween candy being more expensive.
So here's the thing. I spoke with the last time I had Greg Meyer, State Senator Greg Meyer, on the air. This was a few months ago. It was actually before we moved. We got to get him back here soon. But the last time we had him on the air, we got to the end of the conversation, and he was talking about like being in the minority in the State Senate and, you know, not being able to do all the things that he wants to do or any of the things that he wants to do. And it's like, okay, so there have been a couple of issues on which we've achieved bipartisan agreement where there was a partisan split before. And Medicaid expansion is kind of the big one, where Republicans were just adamantly opposed to it for years and years. And then all of a sudden they came around and now we have Medicaid expansion. Like it took a long time, but we got there. So how did we get there? And is that something that we can apply to other issues? And he said something that really stuck with me, which is it was about like ultimately it's about money, like what finally like put the Republicans over the top and got them to move in the General Assembly is, at the end of the day, it was just really, really obviously more cost efficient and financially better to expand Medicaid than not to expand Medicaid. And it was really just the financial argument that was the sticking point the whole time. And I was like, and I didn't say this on the air, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, cool, we can work with that, because there are so many issues where the Democrats' argument is long-term the more cost-effective one, and this is another one. Like, we've run up against so many brick walls talking to conservatives and right-wingers about climate change, but climate change is such a huge long-term financial burden, case in point, the price of cocoa skyrocketing, that it should be a pretty easy financial argument to make to say, hey, we need to do something about this, because if we don't, here is what the cost is going to be, and we're seeing it now, so let's do something about it.
Well, that's where you
one would think. I feel like that's the approach. That's the one that's going to move the
and
dial.
And that more far-sighted approach is something that I see as obviously advantageous. Everyone is a quarterback on Monday morning. But what you really hit is a cross-section between short and long-term gains and the timeline on which investors and wealthy people want to see those gains realized.
Correct. But, I mean, now we're seeing short-term losses. Like, here it is, right?
Yeah. Greed is the problem.
it's also the solution. Like, appeal to greed. I'm fine with that. I myself am greedy. I want more money in my pocket at the end of the day. Like, this is great. Let's work together on this.
That's a positive takeaway, and I'm glad.
Greed, like alcohol, is the cause of and solution to all the world's problems.
which verse of the Bible is that again?
I think it's Simpsons season 6.